May I speak in the name of God, Creator, Redeemer, Sustainer. Amen. The lure of tradition at this time of the year is irresistible. Advent wreaths, mistletoe, stockings, the Christmas tree, poinsettias. Tradition can have an enormous and positive influence over us, for within tradition we can find fragments of truth. The pointed leaves of the holly bush reminding us of the crown of thorns Christ wore on the cross, the red berries, his blood. The Christmas tree, once part of a medieval mystery play, hung with apples to remind us of Adam and Eve. The generosity of giving presents, mirroring the generosity of God in giving him in the person of the Christ child. But tradition has its limits, and while it may hint at hidden truth, it cannot tell the whole story. T.S. Eliot put it this way: a tradition without intelligence is not worth having. So before we are all submerged beneath an avalanche of traditions, what might today's gospel say about the limits of those traditions? John the Baptist is preaching by the River Jordan and causing something of a stir. Despite the insults he hurls at the crowd, they have sufficient insight to know that here is a man of God. For them, tradition dictates that John is either the Messiah, the anointed one of God, or else he's Elijah, the prophet of the Hebrew scriptures, who didn't die but was carried up to the heavens in a chariot. Elijah, so it was thought, would return before the end of the world. That's how tradition had it. Messiah or prophet? When it came to John, the people wanted to know which box to tick. John confounds their thinking. I don't fit into your boxes. God is doing something well beyond the bounds of tradition, and there is one coming after me who will defy all your box ticking. Tradition is a way of wrapping up the truth in supposedly manageable bite-sized chunks. It's a way of taking an element of truth and preserving it. But tradition is to truth as a bottle of water is to an immense river. The water in the bottle came from the river. It is part of the river. It shares all the chemical properties of the river. In some respects, it is even the river. But that in itself is a travesty, for the real river is miles of teeming life with eddies and weirs, muddy banks and rocky bottoms. The traditions of Christmas, the star, the manger, wise men, shepherds, Mary and Joseph, even the baby Jesus, are just fragments of what God is doing. For the action of God is beyond our wildest imaginings. Just as the bystanders in our gospel episode were trying to pigeonhole John, the risk is that at Christmas, many try to pigeonhole God. Yet, to paraphrase what Paul said to the people of Athens, the God who made the world and everything in it, he who is Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in traditions made by human hands. The Spirit of God at work in Advent and Christmas is far beyond what any tradition can express or embrace. Whereas traditions are predictable, the Spirit is not. Traditions are comforting. The actions of God are more often disturbing. Traditions often affirm what we value in ourselves, whereas the Spirit is always challenging you and I to reevaluate our lives in the light of the gospel. Tradition has a way of shielding us from the reality of life. That's why the time-honored traditions of Christmas, so heartwarming in December, are redundant by January. In shielding us from the reality of life, if only for a week or two, the risk is that tradition will stupefy us so that we are unable to recognize that the truth contained within Christmas, within the Christmas narrative, speaks directly to the daily reality of difficult relationships and tough decisions. The Spirit holds tradition and the bigger picture in an uncomfortable but authentic tension. Tradition tells us what the angels said to the shepherds in the field at night. But it has no idea what the angels are trying to say to the gang members as Jay Sewell, an 18-year-old, became the 130th murder victim in London when he died last Tuesday. Tradition knows about the journeying of the wise men, but it does not know what to say to the 100 or so migrants claiming to be Iranian who have attempted the dangerous journey in small boats across the English Channel these past few weeks. Tradition basically ignores Jewish life under the Romans, so it does not know what to say about those who suffer in occupied territories. Tradition makes the flight into Egypt seem romantic, but it is silent about the refugees stumbling back and forth in misery across our world today. Tradition celebrates loving households, but doesn't have a clue about violent ones, or broken ones, or sad ones. Tradition speaks of certainty. The Spirit speaks of ambiguity. Tradition speaks of simplicity. The Spirit speaks of complexity. Tradition speaks of wonder. The Spirit allows us doubt. While tradition this Christmas encourages that sense of transient bonhomie, the Spirit calls us to encounter a joy which is both deeper and harder. Like our predecessors, we come to this time of the year with wonderfully crafted boxes of tradition. Jesus, Mary and Joseph, all carefully arranged into the Christmas pageant, taking their predetermined place among the Father Christmases, turkeys, music, laughter, gifts, and fun. And we say, God, we want you to fit your truth into our box traditions. But the answer God gives is the same as that given by John and by Jesus. The truth of God cannot be contained within the traditions of Christmas. Its demands, its expectations, its challenges take us well beyond a mere 12 days. Whatever their positive effect and potential for goodness, those self-same traditions are to the work of God as a bottle is a bottle of water is to a mighty river. In the days ahead, as we become inebriated by the bottled water of tradition, let's not lose sight of the mighty river, which is the Spirit of God, from which the bottled water comes and which demands that we echo the question which the people put to John. What then must we do? Dear God, what then must I do?